This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Are your toes becoming very heavy and very relaxed? It is a warm...
I am a medicine man, I do a medicine.
On August 10th, the family and friends of Dr. Mutulu Shakur present their annual Health Activist Award, honoring Dr. James McIntosh, co-chair of the Committee to End Media Offensive to African People, CMOTAP.
The award will be presented by Professor Marimba Ani. There will also be testimonials, cultural and theatrical presentations by Arkoswab Tate, Mzuri, and George Edward Tate.
The Master of Ceremonies will be Basir M. Chawi. This event will take place on August 10th at 3 p.m. at 966 Fulton Street in Brooklyn.
For more information, call 347-221-4333.
That's 347-221-4333.
Okay, and with that, it's midnight in New York City, and it's actually 1 minute after midnight in New York City, which means that we're going to give a big thank you and a big shout-out to everybody who generously pledged to keep this radio station on the air for Delphine Blue and Shocking Blue, but hold on to your hats, folks, because now is your big once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, probably not once-in-a-lifetime, but anyway, if you've never done it before, your first-in-a-lifetime opportunity to give it up for what's coming up next, which is this. Moorish. Orthodox. Radio. Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there. Okay, and with that, I am left to wonder. Oh, there. Okay, that's better. Good, 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 good. Found the right knob to pot down so it doesn't sound like I've got weird echoey noises in my head. Okay, with that, now we're 3 minutes into the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, which means that everybody should call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge. And while you're doing so, while you're calling 212-209-2950, let's go techno. Let's go techno. But Mumbai style.
Just
Wow. Man, I don't know. There's something about that female vocalist just sends me, oh, my poor heart. I have no idea what she's singing about because it's in Hindi. If anybody out there knows what she's singing about, maybe give us a call later. Maybe we'll take your listener phone calls. I'll tell you what, if we break $500 in the first hour, we will take listener phone calls. How does that sound? And we're already off to a good start because we're not starting from zero. We're starting from 50 because we're joined, predictably, given what's in the news today, we're joined by our old friend Bill Time's Up. Welcome aboard, Bill.
Thank you for having me.
And tell us what you just did back there in the tally room, Bill.
I made Time's Up be an official member of WBI, and we donated $50.
So, we already actually start at $50. So, we're off to a pretty good start. And, in fact, this fund drive, I have been led to understand, is off to a pretty good start. Our emergency summer fund drive here on WBAI is actually off to a pretty good start. So people are understanding, it seems, the listeners are understanding that we're in a pinch and we need your money and we're depending on you to come through for WBAI, keep us on the air. So, and you've been responding. That's good. So I'm optimistic that, you know, maybe we'll break 500 in the first hour and then take a few listener phone calls. And maybe we'll actually break 1,000 by the end of the show. That would make me really, really happy if we could do that. Now, just very briefly before we get into the substance of what we're going to be talking about, which is actually related to the premium which we're offering, just let me briefly tell you what that premium is. I mean, for starters, if you've only got $25, then pledge $25 and become a member of WBAI and get your voting rights and get the folio in the mail and all that stuff. Do they still put out the folio, come to think of it? Because I'm a member of BAI and I never do get the folio. But you do get the right to vote. And if you pledge $65... Well, actually, no. Let me go in increasing financial increments here. If you pledge $30, which is just $5 more than $25, you get a WBAI t-shirt, which, of course, was designed by our dear old Uncle Sidney Smith, which is a very appropriate t-shirt for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade because it's got the Sufi logo on it, even though Sidney didn't even realize that when he did the designs. It was one of those amazing instances of synchronicity or automatic writing for all of you mystics out there. It's purple with a flaming winged heart, and it says Radio, WBAI, Radio with Heart, founded by pacifists. So very much in the spirit of us late night freeform radio freaks here at WBAI. We're keeping the, we'd like to think, something very close to the original founding spirit of the Pacifica Network alive. So a really appropriate t-shirt for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. And it can be yours for a pledge of just $30. Purple with gold silkscreen image of a flaming heart. It says WBAI, Radio with Heart, founded by pacifists. So, then, for a pledge of $65, you can get the WBAI baseball cap. Or finally, for a pledge of $100, all of you people who were listening last week will recall that we were interviewing Seth Tabachman and the crew, his crew, to talking about his new book, which is entitled Disaster and Resistance, Comics and Landscapes for the 21st Century by Seth Tabachman, which is his a compilation of several graphic depictions which he has produced over the past 10 years or so, really from since 9/11, the invasion of Iraq, but a little bit about before 9/11 as well, the anti-globalization movement and so on. But mostly it has to do with on the various themes of war for oil and global warming. It's all pretty powerful stuff. It's kind of a sequel to the work that he did in the 1990s about the squatter movement on the Lower East Side, but it's sort of taking a more global approach, and there's depictions a lot about Katrina, New Orleans, the Bayou country, and the struggle for housing and the aftermath of the storm there, as well as depictions from the Niger Delta of Nigeria and indigenous peoples trying to protect their land from exploitation by the oil industry, and Iraq, where indigenous peoples are trying to protect their land from U.S. military occupation in the interest of controlling oil, and as well as Palestine and what else? And, of course, New York City, of course.
And it has a lot of pictures in it for people who don't like to read. A lot of really great pictures, and it ties it all to oil.
That's right. It's all ultimately
all about oil.
It's ultimately all about oil. And this is kind of relating to what I wanted to talk about tonight. So let's jump into that. Well, I'll just give a final appeal to people to a pledge of $100 will get you not only a membership of WBAI, but your own very own copy of Disaster and Resistance, Comics and Landscapes for the 21st Century by Seth Tobachman, hot off the presses from AK Press out in the San Francisco Bay Area, can be yours for a pledge of $100 to keep WBAI on the air in the midst of an emergency fund drive where we're trying to really fill a financial gap here. If you can't afford 100, then pledge 50 as Time's Up just did.
That's right. I didn't even have to dial the phone number, which you got to tell people what it is.
The phone number is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. So we urge everybody to do that. But, you know, it's really interesting that I was getting, before I even found out about what happened at the Critical Mass ride on Friday, I was all ready to rant on the air tonight about the war on bicyclists and pedestrians in this city, because it's really sort of really been getting me down, and it really actually kind of has me sick at heart at the moment, because just this past week I witnessed two really terrible accidents. One was on at the very bottom of the FDR, where it runs into, the very bottom of Manhattan, just before it hits the, tunnel where it goes under Battery Park. Right there, it looked like a car had jumped the divider and hit a motorcycle. This was just earlier this week. And both the car and the motorcycle were totaled, and the guy who was on the motorcycle was lying there under a sheet, presumably dead. And then a couple of days later, I was riding down Second Avenue late at night, and I saw a kid who, unfortunately, I didn't see the accident. I arrived minutes after the accident, just immediately after the accident, so I just missed seeing it. But a young kid was lying on the pavement, just howling in pain, and you could see that his lower leg was completely broken. It was just literally cracked in two. I mean, it looked like he had three joints instead of two. And you could actually see his shin bone protruding right from the flesh where the break was. I mean, it was just like as if a pencil had been snapped right there. And he was just howling in pain. And he had been hit by a livery cab. And the livery cab itself had a shattered windshield. So somehow he must have, like, bounced right up on top of the car and hit the windshield. Now, I didn't witness it, so I don't know if the kid had the right of way. I don't know if the kid was acting recklessly or not. But what really kind of made me sick about it, well, a few things made me sick about it. But one is that there were a couple of kids who did witness it, and they were like these young, crusty nomad types, kind of like these grunge punk types with backpacks and dreadlocks who looked like they hadn't showered in a few weeks. And they were just livid with rage. They said they had seen it, and they were ranting on and on about how, you know, this poor kid had the right of way, and he was just mowed down by the livery cab, and the guy in the livery cab was just sitting there smirking and didn't even care, and this kid is going to be messed up for years, and he doesn't have any insurance. And they were just, you know, livid with rage and self-righteousness about it. And then I said, well, look, why don't you give your names to the police so that you can be called as witnesses and there can be some justice here? And you wouldn't believe how fast they disappeared as soon as I said that. No, we don't want to get involved. And they just split. I just felt like knocking their heads together. I was so angry. Oh, God.
Well, maybe if the system was a little bit better towards...
Well, yes, of course, we all know that the system is totally slanted, but that's not going to change by people not taking any responsibility, as you of all people know, Bill.
Right. Well, you know, some people are a little scared, as we know. I've talked to those people every day on the phone trying to get them, you know, more involved in their community or the environment. But sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but things are changing, right? You know, the city's becoming more green. People are hopefully going to take a little bit of a gamble.
All right, so we're getting to what happened on Friday.
Yeah, but before we get there, my name is Bill DiPaolo. I am a volunteer, and I work with Time's Up, which is a 20-year-old nonprofit environmental group, and Bill has me on the show every once in a while. And so we work on trying to educate people about sustainable choices they can make every day about the environment, and we do a lot of bike rides, just a little background information. And the bike rides have really helped over the years, these group rides, at getting more and more people to ride because people feel safe in a group. So we do like hundreds of different group rides. You can check out our website at Time's Up, www.times-up.org. And you should really support WBAI by calling that phone number, because right now we need more pledges to make this happen. Just like Time's Up is a nonprofit group made up by volunteers, a lot of people who come to the station are volunteers, and it's also run in a nonprofit style. And this is the kind of thing we need, because just as we can tell the truth, so could WBAI. It's really tough sometimes to get right to the point of the truth and the community if you're not working, you know, without so many corporate sponsors. So please try to give your support to WBAI. Bill, what's the phone number? 212-209-2950.
Yeah.
And I'll throw in like a piece of gum I just took out of my mouth if people don't eat. Or a dinner with you or Amy Goodman. What about the dinner with Amy Goodman?
You got to ask Amy about that.
I thought it was like $2,000.
What we're offering tonight for $100 okay. is your very own copy of Disaster and Resistance, Comics and Landscapes for the 21st Century by Seth Tabachman, which is very much on the theme of the global war for oil and how it relates to our daily lives, which is really what I feel that we need to – I was wanting to discuss tonight precisely because of what I've witnessed in over the course of the past week, as well as some other things, including being in an accident myself. I was going up Broadway, and I was hit from behind by a guy in a cab, and for a minute – well, not even a minute, for a few seconds, although it seems like longer. You know how time slows down when you're in a situation of imminent danger? It seemed like a lot longer. It couldn't have been more than a few seconds. I was out of control. But I managed to recover control, and I wasn't hurt, amazingly. And believe it or not, I got the better of it because the guy, he hit my...
You took out your bike lock and you smashed
his car? No. The guy hit my... He hit me from behind. He hit my...
Handlebars
with his rear view mirror.
Oh, he clipped you, that's called.
And the rear view mirror came off.
Wow, you must have held really steady, because usually that just sends you flying.
Exactly. And almost, like I say, I was out of control for a few seconds and I recovered. And he did stop, to his credit. And I once I recovered, I actually picked up his rear view mirror from the pavement and I went up to him and I handed it to him. And I said,
you said this is 13 years of bad luck, buddy.
No, what I said was, you know, you're really, really lucky that you got the worst of it. And he immediately started giving me a hard time and accused me of, like, causing the accident and saying that I hit him, which is absurd because he hit me from behind. So, you know, this happened to me, and then I witnessed these two horrible accidents over the course of the past week. And this was, you know, just after this music that we opened with, by the way. This is a compilation of new music from Bollywood called M4U Blast. I'm not quite sure what the title means, a little bit enigmatic. The cut that we heard, that we opened with, was called Wada Karo by DJ Akil. Bill, can you tell me what... I believe in like sort of 1980s, maybe early 90s, techno pop song was being sampled there. Da 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 da.
No.
No, you can't tell me either. It's very
really,
familiar, though.
I really like that song.
Yeah, me too.
I usually don't like
me
songs
too.
Like that, but
so,
that
you know,
was definitely
I was
taking me somewhere.
I was going down Broadway, in fact, just past BAI a few days ago, and they were having this Indian street fair on one of the side slip streets, one of the slips. I think it might have been Old Slip. And they were playing that very cut on the loudspeaker, and I said, oh yeah, I need to get that to play it for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and I did. I bought it for just $5. What a deal! A great new Bhangra and Bollywood music, which we'll be hearing more of later tonight. And you know, it's at moments like that that I think to myself, God, I love this city. Where else but New York City? You know, the quintessential global city. And where else but on my bicycle? If I had been on mass transit, I would have missed it. If I had been in a car, I would have missed it. Only because I was on my bicycle, you know, I heard that music and I could just stop and pull over and groove on the music and pick it up. You know, where else but New York City? It's moments like that when I just say to myself, God, I love this town. And then, you know, it's moments like when I see that kid lying in the street with his broken leg, or when, you know, I barely escape with my life after being hit by a cab, that I say to myself, God, this place is just such a mess.
And you know, when you're in a car, your windows are rolled up, you know.
Totally out of touch with your environment.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So a lot of things you're describing are situations where people have become kind of immune from their environment, and they feel like, well, I'm supposed to act this way, and I can't really see them or feel them because I'm listening to the radio and the windows are closed. So, you know, it's about this new idea of like sharing the road, sharing the space, and kind of having respect for people who are walking or on bicycles. And I really think it's starting to change. It's got a long way to go in this city.
Well, they did just supposedly open up some new bicycle lanes on some of the major Manhattan arteries.
Sure. As we know, you know, there was following the Republican National Convention, there seemed to be a kind of a war on bicycles, you know, where we were standing up for our rights and there was a lot of people arrested, a lot of people harassed. And I would like to say we kind of won that war, you know, and Time's Up was a big part of it. And a lot of other people stood up and said, we're not going to take it anymore. And they did fire a lot of police officers who were being kind of hostile, including was Lieutenant Smolka. And they actually...
Smolka was fired?
Well, you know, they say he resigned. But it was like right after he strangled someone, you know, right on in the New York Times. So he gave someone a chokehold on a bicycle. And a few days later, he was gone or retiring. So who could say what happened? But also the same week, the transportation commissioner, Irish Weinzer, resigned, and they have a new transportation commissioner, and things are really starting to change, and you can see it on the street. You can see there's more bike lanes. They're putting in more places to park. Bicycling is increasing. So the city is really making some steps.
And yet, you know, you still have the bike lanes are always cluttered up with double parked cars. And
right, but they're actually moving the bike lanes over to the place where there's no cars.
Oh.
So they're actually right next to the curb on certain streets, and I'm sure people are seeing that all over the city. And now we're seeing that they're putting green thick paint down as well. And, you know, the city's a little slow with these things. Sure, you know, a lot of the bike lanes are not being marked correctly. And obviously they're not being enforced. We have this ride where we all dress like clowns and we bike lane liberation where we go out there and we give them fake tickets and push them out of the bike lanes. And it's kind of hysterical. We have sound bikes and we dance on top of the cars. But the idea is that, you know, in time, hopefully there'll be more respect for not only making bike lanes, but encouraging people not to park in them. But it seems to be there is a change in the city, but, you know, it's a big city. And the police department aren't actually changing as fast as our elected officials, and that's something we're going to talk about tonight, I guess.
All right. I'm going to take this opportunity to give a station break. It is now 12:27 and a half, not quite 12:30, in the a.m., listener-supported, non-commercial. Okay, now you get that? Did you understand those words? Listener-supported, non-commercial, right? Which means that the listeners have to support it because we don't take any commercial sponsorship, which means that if you don't support it, then we're not going to be here. We're having an emergency fund drive. Emergency. Let's look that word up. Should we look that word up on the internet?
Yeah.
Let's look up the word emergency on the internet. Okay? I should have brought the dictionary. A-M-E-R-G-A-N-C-Y. Emergency. Okay. Definition. Emergency.
It's that stuff you drink when you have a cold. Is that what it is? That comes in these little packets?
A serious situation or occurrence that happens unexpectedly and demands immediate action. Or a condition of urgent need for action or assistance.
Yay, someone just donated money.
As in a state of emergency. Okay, so we are having an emergency fund drive. Now, one person has called and pledged $100 to get their very own copy of Disaster and Resistance, Comics and Landscapes for the 21st Century. Not exactly a graphic novel, but sort of a graphic anthology by Seth DeBachman of World War III Illustrated. And a big grateful shout-out to Seth DeBachman and AK Press for making these available to us as premiums tonight on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade.
What a great combination, Seth DeBachman, AK Press, and WBAI.
And time's up.
Yeah, all working for the same thing and broke.
So one person has called, so the tally's now up to 150. So we appeal to some other people to call and keep us alive, keep the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on the air, on WBAI, keep WBAI on the air on the Pacifica Network, and keep the Pacifica Network on the air out there in what is otherwise the rather barren wasteland of the airwaves in these United States of America. So please give us a call, 212-209-2950.
And we take credit cards.
Take credit cards, absolutely.
We take, what else we take?
Pledges.
Pledges, you get pledges. And if you open up, like, your, you know, small change or something like that, loose change.
So, as I was saying, or now it's 12:30, so I can make it official, listener supported non-commercial WBAI, 99.5 FM here in New York City. My name is Bill Weinberg. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. We are joined tonight by Bill DiPaolo of Time's Up. And, okay, Bill, now, why don't you tell us what happened on the Critical Mass ride on last Friday night?
Aha, last Friday night, a beautiful night to ride your bicycle. So the Critical Mass Ride happens the last Friday of every night around the world. Last Friday of every month around the world in over 200 cities that I know of. And I'm pretty sure it kind of started in California. It's an unorganized...
San Francisco, where it started back in, 89, I believe it
was?
Yeah,
Chris Carlson, who writes a lot of books.
Who we had on the show just a few weeks ago. Yes, we did.
Came up with these kind of philosophies. You know, I could get into those philosophies. They're really fun philosophies. You know, no leaders, no root. He came up with this idea of xerocracy, which means like everybody should make their own copies. So all these kind of cool community related.
Xerocracy with an X, as in Xerox. Xerocracy.
Well, you know, to each its own. But, you know,
yeah.
Make a lot of copies myself.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, too many. So he came up with a lot of these guidelines. But, you know, it's like basically a group ride. We do a lot of group rides that are organized, fun rides. They always help get more people riding. But the Critical Mass is a much bigger group ride. The Critical Mass group ride in Manhattan meets at Union Square Park on the north side at 7 p.m. There, I guess for the last 2 years, it has been very difficult or even more to participate in ride because there's a lot of harassment.
Well, that now you meet on the south side because the north side is closed.
We're still holding our own over there. Because,
oh, yeah? Are you?
Because there's another thing going on over there where they're trying to put a restaurant in the park.
Yeah, exactly.
and not take it away from a free speech zone. So we're like, we're going to stick with that campaign as well.
So you're still meeting on the north side.
Yeah, it's like a double hit, you know,
right.
The right to ride your bicycles, the right to free speech, and the right to no restaurant in the park.
Right.
So
public access to the public parks.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're not moving us. We know their plan. So anyway... part of the
okay thing. So what happened Friday night?
Okay, Friday night we usually do the what happens is there's all these police and all this great spying that the city offers, pretending that this isn't really happening and harassing people, but people show up every time, which is awesome. It's a really, I would say it's even a funner ride now because you have to, someone will go around and tell you a secret place to meet and everybody disperses. So the larger ride doesn't really leave from there. About a half hour later to an hour later, it leads from a different location. In this case, it was the South Street Seaport and the ferry. Three different rides joined together about 45 minutes later, 7:45, and totaling up to 200 people were heading uptown. Really great, fun ride. No problems with the police. They turned the corner and started heading downtown through Times Square, 7th Avenue, and I'd like to say 46th Street is where the famous incident now happened, where two police officers were standing in the middle of the street. One police officer, who I'd name I don't know, just for whatever reason, the bicyclists were just streaming past him, having fun, going through Times Square, leaned into a bicyclist with rather rapid force and smashed him with his elbow and his body and knocked the bicyclist to the ground rather violently, and then proceeded to jump on top of him and kind of violently arrest him. This happens a lot. I hate to tell people that. It happens a lot. But on this particular occasion, actually, it was the only arrest that night that I know of, and not that many tickets because the ride wasn't really being chased as much. This was another officer.
All right, so this kid was arrested.
Yeah.
After being assaulted by the cop, knocked off of his mm-hmm. bike in motion.
Yep. And the interesting thing about this, the incident was caught by a tourist on the sidewalk.
With his cell phone.
No.
Video camera.
Yeah, he had
a video camera. Right, yeah, right.
That's like you're thinking about the war thing. But anyway.
The war thing?
It's all oil anyway, right? So in the war, taking pictures of the cell phone of the prisoners.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right,
no, it was definitely video camera. Yeah. Because the video is up on YouTube.
You got it.
Right.
So then somehow at the end of the night, I got a piece of paper in my pocket, and it had all these people who were taking pictures. And we were calling people like, hey, you know, we're collecting pictures of the arrest and stuff. And one person was like, oh, yeah, but I'm going to charge you money. And we didn't understand why a bicyclist wanted to charge money. But it was actually a tourist who shot this. And he was just shooting the bicyclist. And then subsequently that went up on YouTube with a press release. And it has been just, I'm not even sure how many hits it's been getting, but it's been a crazy amount of press. It seems like almost every paper has covered this story.
Front page of the Times Metro section today.
Yeah, I mean, it's been in every paper. It's been almost on every TV station, and it's just really a growing story, and the videotape kind of speaks for itself of what's been happening, and hopefully that this will send a shockwave maybe that, you know, this
okay,
has
so
to stop.
The cop is under investigation. That's the good news.
Yeah, and that happened right away. Like, where it happened so fast. Like, I think the video came out in the morning, and by the afternoon, they took away his gun and his badge. And then today, I think the mayor and the police commissioner both spoke about it, and they kind of pretend like, oh, what's this critical mass thing? You know, they tried to pretend that they were.
All right, now, Bill, what you didn't know, much to my surprise, is that there's a second cop who is under investigation. I'm reading now from New York One. Video surfaces showing second officer striking suspect. July 29th. A second city police officer has been put on modified duty following the Tuesday release of a video showing the officer striking a suspect with his baton. According to court documents, the incident occurred on July 4th at about 8:30 p.m. All right, so that would that have been, that would have been the critical mass ride, right? It was July 4th? Or am I confused? No. That was the week before, or a couple of weeks before. Right, I'm confused. Right, of course, July 4th is not the last Friday of the month. What am I thinking about?
It's like July 4th.
This is not related to critical mass.
But it's a good story. But, you know, it could be one of those things where you see, like, it's because of one investigation, now everybody's coming forward.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's a good time for that.
All right, so an attorney for 46-year-old Michael Cephas claims his client was struck 10 times with a baton during an arrest. The attorney says police accused Cephas of trying to carry liquor into a park, and he was trying to find a spot to view the fireworks. Okay, so this was on July 4th.
They're being clumped together, those stories, actually. I've been seeing them around together a lot. So here's
the details on what happened. The story follows on the heels of the release of another video pictured above on New York One, in which a different officer is seen knocking a cyclist to the ground during a mass bike ride by the group Time's Up last Friday. The video appeared on YouTube. The police union is coming to the defense of that officer. President Pat Lynch of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association said Officer Patrick Pogan, quote, took action when he observed the rider creating, quote, a hazardous situation for the public, end quote. Lynch, who was unavailable for on-camera interview, issued a statement saying the video shows the rider did not stop like, quote, any reasonable person, unquote, when approached by the officer. But Mayor Michael Bloomberg Tuesday said it looks to him like Pogan crossed the line. Quote, it looked to me to be totally over the top and inappropriate, but the police commissioner is going to or is in the process of doing an investigation. I don't want to prejudice any investigation, said Bloomberg. As of Tuesday, Pogan has been stripped of his badge and gun and has been reassigned pending a department investigation. Meanwhile, the cyclist, Christopher Long, is facing charges of blocking traffic, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and assault. Now, you can go to almost any of the online media accounts of this story. I've actually got the video footage shot by that tourist. So you can go and see for yourself if it looks to you like Christopher Long was guilty of blocking traffic, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, or assault.
Failure to stop when ordered to, that's my favorite.
What it looks to me like is he was riding his bicycle.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, the cop literally ran over to him and pushed him off of his bike. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, the video doesn't lie. And, you know, the whole idea of blocking traffic, you know, obviously we've been trying to get the city to understand this over and over again, that bicyclists in the city are traffic. They're not blocking traffic. And this is a major concern because that one statement is probably why you're seeing all these prejudice towards bicyclists. This is a rookie cop. He sees bicyclists going by him, and he thinks, like, wow, there's so many of them. But, you know, the idea is all over the world, bicyclists are considered traffic. They're not, you know, this thing. If there's too many bicycles, there must be a problem. I'm used to seeing a bicyclist by themselves. So the idea...
When you say all over the world, I mean, there's certain signs of progress, particularly in Western Europe. Okay?
But, I mean, when people see bicyclists traveling together in other countries...
Well, yes, but there's also signs of significant backlash. I mean, bicycles used to be ubiquitous in China. In fact, it was the term critical mass was coined after George Bliss went to, what was it, Canton, I believe, Guangdong.
Right.
And
maybe I have to explain that a little.
And sort of saw how the bicyclists moved together.
Right, they would stop. There was no lights, so there was all this traffic going through, and it would be a buildup at the intersection of bicyclists. You know, they would just keep building up, and there would be traffic flowing the other way. And when it reached what George Bliss called a critical mass, then that group of bicyclists would go through the light and continue, and then a buildup would happen at the other light, and it would continue in this process, and that somehow... They took that to California where it was called the commute clot, this bike ride, and they changed it when they saw this movie. I think it was called The Return of the Scorcher by Ted White, and they saw George Bush talking about his trip.
And what's a scorcher, Bill?
You know, I don't know.
It's some kind of, like, old-fangled bicycle?
You know, I don't know.
Anyway, that's the origin of the term. But the point I wanted to make is that, unfortunately, you know, bicycle transportation is now being de-emphasized in China, and the cult of the automobile is on the rise in China. And, you know,
well, I still think if people in China see a group of bicyclists riding together, they're not going to think, like, we need to assassinate them.
It's probably still better in China than it is here because the backlash, you know, it's still backlash as opposed to, you know, here, you know.
The idea is that we need a lot of...
had very much rights. But the fact is that China is going backwards on this question.
And that can happen, you know, and hopefully we're going to move forwards here and then maybe move backwards again. But the idea is we need some respect towards the cyclists. And we need to have the police understand that when bicyclists are traveling together, they're not blocking traffic, they are traffic. And I think that's the message we've been trying to get out. But we're going to take people's phone calls on this, but we're not going to take any phone calls.
Right. Now, so what I said,
they donate because they ask questions.
What I said is that we'll take phone calls if we break $500 by the hour. And the tally stands at $150. So... it doesn't look like we're going to be taking phone calls tonight unless over the course of the next 20 minutes, four people call in and each pledge $100 to get their very own copy of Disaster and Resistance, Comics and Landscapes for the 21st Century by Seth Tobachman, a graphic book about the war for oil and resistance to the war for oil all over the planet, from New York to post-Katrina New Orleans to the Niger Delta of Nigeria to Iraq. So this is really quite a bit of work. Probably a lot of people were listening. I believe it was last week when we had Seth on reading from it and doing performance and discussing it with his group, his musical outfit, the Improvised Explosive Devices, a rather provocative name. So Once again, just give a call, and if four people pledge $100 in the next 15 minutes, we'll be up over $500, and then we'll take listener phone calls for the remaining half hour.
And you could ask any questions about, you know, what you've seen on TV or what you want to discuss. We're open to all different type of questions.
And if you can't pledge, if you can't pledge $100, then pledge $50, as Time's Up just did. Or if you can't pledge $50, pledge $30 to get the BAI T-shirt designed by Sydney Smith. And if you can't pledge 30, then pledge 25 to become a member of WBAI. And if you can't even afford 25 to become a member, then pledge 10. You know, that's what a movie costs, right?
Right.
So,
and you know, right now, Time's Up has been probably in every major paper, and all the corporate media have really responded well to this video clip. But in the beginning, there was no place we could take these complaints about what was happening to cyclists, the community gardens, and even the squatter movement that I was involved in. So we came to BAI. I mean, this place was the start, the jumping ground for a lot of the activities that are going on. So without BAI, you know, who knows? We probably, Time's Up couldn't rally people early on to save community gardens because there was no real, you know, we used to be in the public parks, but also now we have the opportunity to get on a huge radio station that people could actually hear us as far as Connecticut and New Jersey. Is that right, Bill?
Well, people can hear us as far as Alaska and Mongolia and
that?
Indonesia and Argentina,
and then we
thanks
can,
to the World Wide Web.
And then we saved the community gardens in Lower East Side because of this. I mean, you know, yeah, this story that we're talking about is a huge story, and it's in the corporate media, but a lot of stories aren't. And they always start off, they start off this way. In fact, a lot of the when I was getting interviewed, a lot of the people told me that the Google, the YouTube, the amount of people that were watching the video, the police knocked the person off their bicycle on YouTube, then made the corporate media have to respond. So it was the grassroots support of the community or the people saying, "What, this is what we think is news," responding to YouTube, then the corporate media had to come second. So sometimes a radio station like this can break a story, as we know, and then they'll have to respond because they will just ignore it the whole time. So we really need to keep BAA on the air, and the way you can do that is donate. And the telephone number is 212-209-2950, and then we can take some phone calls.
Well, once again, folks, all it's going to take, so I'm just saying, I just want 500 by the hour, 500 in the first hour of the show. So once again, the tally stands at 150. If four more people call and pledge $100 to get your very own copy of Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tobachman, we'll be there. We'll be at the 500, and then we'll take some listener phone calls. But you know what? I've got a theory, and the theory is that that people aren't calling because they're too busy listening. So what we're going to do, too busy listening to this fascinating erudite conversation with Bill DiPaolo from Time's Up and me, Bill Weinberg, from the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. So what we're going to do is we're going to take another musical break. And you're going to hear some more hot Bollywood Bhangra from the M4U World Blast compilation that I picked up on my bicycle on the streets of New York just for you. So why don't we do that? And while we're hearing some of this, we're going to ask everybody to call and pledge what they can.
$20, $40.
$50, $65, or $100. Now, if you can't pledge $100 for Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tobachman, pledge $65 for the baseball cap or the mug, or $30 for the T-shirt, or $25 for basic membership, or if you can't even afford that, pledge what you can. So the heroic volunteers, our friend Cannon from Wisconsin is back there with, I believe, Dennis the Menace. So a big shout out to them. They are giving of their time and labor tonight, which means money. But now it's time for you guys out there who are listening. If you're not a member of WBAI, this is your moment. All right, let's hear a little bit more Bollywood Bhangra. Let's hear, this is Mast Kalander with Hey Baby. Here, this is the one I want to hear, right?
Oh, must the gun,
Okay, folks, you know, we've got 10 copies of Disaster and Resistance just for you as a premium for WBAI and for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. So far, we've divested one of them. I would call that a little bit unacceptable. You know, what gives with you people? All I'm asking you to do is to support the radio show that you listen to. 212-209-2950. I expect to get rid of all 10 copies of Disaster and Resistance, Comics and Landscapes for the 21st Century by Seth Tabachman. So please get on the call, on the phone, and call 212-209-2950 and pledge $100 to WBAI during this emergency fund drive to get your copy. All right? 212-209-2950. Now we're joined here by, Bill Times Up, Bill DiPaolo from Times Up, as well as by Mike Cannon from Wisconsin. You came all the way from Wisconsin to staff the phones here at WBAI during the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade.
Yeah, I love it. I love listening to your show when I come into New York, and I was vacationing last time when you had a fundraiser, and I became a WBAI member. And I was like, boy, I can come down on my vacation here and volunteer during your show, and so that's why I wanted to come down and say hi. I do also an independent radio program in central Wisconsin on a little community radio station. I use a lot of material from WBAI, and I wanted to come down to support this radio station. You know, it's interesting. Out there in the world, we might be a little jaded here in New York with all, you know, kind of a liberal background of big cities tend to be, but out in rural areas like I come from, it's very conservative and hard to get material, but WBAI supplies a lot of that material. I use some stuff from the Radio Roots crew and some other material that I get off the Pacific Archives, and I just wanted to come in and support WBAI any way I can. And I'd like to encourage anybody from, let's say you're from Wisconsin, you know, there's a lot of people that moved to New York, and if you're from Wisconsin, I'd love to hear you. I'm going to jump back in the phones. You can say hi to me and do your pledge, and that number is 1-212-209-2950. So any of those Wisconsinites that are out there, man, give me a call, and we'll chat a little bit. I'm from central Wisconsin, Wausau, if you know where that is. But just generally, this is a great show, and so important to support community radio station. And this is like a flagship. This is, without this, man, we really flounder out there. And it's difficult to find good material, and WBAI supplies a lot of great material for my little Mike Cannon and Media Radio Show that I do in my community radio station.
Now, what's the station?
93.3 WNRB in Wausau, Wisconsin, LPM. We'll say LP because of low power. And I also post my stuff to the net at radioforall.net, which
and
is
that's, community station, college station?
Little community radio station. Uh-huh. It's run by the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. Runs it, so we have a large Hmong population, and it's only 6-watt station. And
I'm sorry, the station is run by the Hmong population?
Yeah, it's the first Hmong radio station operated and owned radio station.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
Indeed.
We have a very large Hmong population in central Wisconsin.
Right, one of the two largest in the country.
Yeah,
right.
California and Wisconsin's right. got
Fresno and central Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mm. So they were kind enough when we lost our license from the community radio station, they came through for us and built us a nice studio and a little 6-watt station. Doesn't get a lot of, you know, oomph out there, but so I'd like to post my stuff to the net for people to download and check out too. So, but again, call that number 1-212-209-2950 and I'd love to hear from you from Wisconsin. And believe you me, you know, again,
all right, so you've got sort of an alliance out there between the lefty alternative type scene and the Hmong immigrant population.
Well,
I
would say a lot of the Hmong immigrant population in Wausau are probably pretty fairly conservative too.
Right, but they invited you into their radio station.
Yeah, they kind of took the crew that was at the college radio station, and I was one of the hardcore first founding members of the community radio station, so they decided to.
The Hmong, for obvious reasons, tend to be very hardcore anti-communist.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So I do an anarchist thing, and I get a little grief for it, but again, a lot of rural areas are very conservative, and it's hard to find good material out there, and WBI supplies that out there, and it's so great having a station like this to be able to tap into, go to the Pacific Archives as a producer and put together my 3-hour show that I do each and every week. And, without support, these places wouldn't exist. And Pacifica and WBAI is just great, great thing. And I'd really be ashamed to lose it. And I hope that doesn't happen. That's why I came on my vacation, came down all the way from Jackson Heights at our commute down here just to try to volunteer for the to answer some phones, and I hope I get some phone calls when I jump back there. Hope you're out there. You can pledge a little money, and I'd really greatly appreciate that. So I'd love to hear from any Wisconsinites that are listening to the show right now, or if you've traveled through, or heck, if you haven't just heard of Wisconsin, give us a call and make a pledge. That would be really, really awesome.
Heard of Wisconsin.
If you heard of Wisconsin, if you like cheese. And
right, all you cheese eaters out there, this is a big opportunity.
If you ever ate cheese.
You ever go to the Mole Lake Bluegrass Festival?
Oh, sure. I've been there once or twice. Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of good, there's good stuff going up in Wisconsin. Very conservative area, farming, rural, but,
Madison is a pretty progressive town.
Yeah. Milwaukee.
Wisconsin has got radical and progressive history.
It has a great history. Madison's kind of turning greenish and kind of cloistering themselves and kind of, very liberal politics right now. I would say the kind of happening radical things happening in Milwaukee right now. Cream City Cooperative in Milwaukee. They've got a huge, anti-fascist groups that are working out of Milwaukee. It's kind of the happening place now in Wisconsin. So.
Right, and it was a stronghold of the progressive and socialist parties back in the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lots of labor history comes out of Milwaukee, so plenty of that as well. So.
All right. Mike Cannon, thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thank you, Bill and Bill, for letting me get on the air, and I hope to hear some Wisconsinites.
212-209-2950. Come on, all you cheese eaters. This is your big moment. Rise to the occasion. Okay. It is, it's just like mere seconds to 1 o'clock in the morning, and tally still stands at 150. So, I started off the show saying that I was really sick at heart, and I continue to be, because we're obviously flopping tonight. We're completely falling flat on our faces, which means nobody cares about the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Nobody cares what we say on this show. We're not appealing to anybody. And this is kind of, this is the thing. We're one of the few shows on this radio station which talks about this issue, which we're discussing tonight, which aggressively and persistently covers the whole issue of
cheese,
of urban transportation, and looking at it as a political issue and not merely as an infrastructure issue and not merely as a sort of like a geek issue, but actually looking at it as a political issue. And this is what has really been getting under my skin for the past week. I'm going to rant for a minute, okay? I just need to get this off my chest. This is really what's been getting under my skin for the past week after having witnessed these two horrible accidents, after having been in what could have been, just a near miss. Thank my lucky stars I'm still alive. What could have been a serious accident, being in just what luckily was just a minor accident myself, is that, okay, for starters, the the livery driver who hit this kid on First Avenue, you know, he's not going to be charged with anything. You know, I mean, I asked the cop, you know, after these two, these grunge punks split when I suggested they give their information to the cop, I went to the cop and said, well, look, did you talk to anybody who witnessed it? Because according to these witnesses who just split, you know, the kid really had the right of way and the guy was driving recklessly. Maybe, you know, there should be charges pressed. And he said, well, no, we just go by protocol and his insurance is going to cover it. So essentially, having a car, having a driver's license in New York City is a license to kill.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's a license to kill. You know, I mean, you can kill somebody and no charges will be pressed against you.
As long as you weren't visibly speeding too much or the person wasn't drunk. But you're seeing that hit and runs are really on the increase. But, you know, we have this, cars really do a lot of damage in two ways, right? What comes out of their tailpipe and they could actually just kill people flat out. So we've been working with this group called Visual Resistance and we're putting these white ghost bikes all over town. And it's a friendly reminder of what has happened. If someone got killed on a street corner, we try to find the person who rode a bicycle. It's usually a bicyclist. We also do stencils for people. But as far as the bicyclists, this is kind of a new campaign, and you probably see these all around the city, these white bicyclists. They're called ghost bikes. And we usually try to match if the person rode the style of bike that they rode. And it's a little memorial, and it really wakes people up. You know, to let people know that someone died right there. I mean, that bicycle is an indication of that they were riding a bicycle and got killed by a car. And it's quite a campaign that's been taking off.
But all you have to do is read the papers, and you can see, you know, every day buried in the back pages, there's, you know, some hideous accident where a kid is killed or sorry, an old woman is killed just crossing the street, crossing Queens Boulevard, whatever, minding her own business.
And, you know, there has a boulevard of death.
Exactly. That's why I mentioned it.
Okay.
And yet,
good call. No.
And yet, the attitude out there on the streets, and it seems more than ever these days. But more than ever, getting worse. From what I've witnessed, is the attitude out there on the streets among motorists, and I hate to say it, particularly amongst cabbies, just one of, you know, complete aggressive recklessness. And, you know, I have to get where I'm going and to hell with everybody else, to hell with their rights, to hell with their safety. It's all about me getting where I'm going. And, you know, you'd think that just, you know, basic humanity and concern for your fellow living being would start to, like, kick in at a certain point. But it doesn't. And I just have to come to the conclusion that it is something which is inherent to the technology. You get behind the wheel of an automobile and it immediately turns you into something of an a-hole. And if you already start out something of an a-hole, then, it's going to turn you into much, much, much more of an a-hole.
Then you get an SUV.
But it seems to be a sort of an inherent tendency out there. And the thing is that it's a systemic problem. But the problem is that it's not viewed as a systemic problem. Okay. There are 250, an average of 250 pedestrians or bicyclists are killed in New York City by motorists every year. There's approximately 40,000 people are killed in car accidents coast to coast every year. All right. Now, most people aren't even cognizant of these statistics. And the thing is, now we're talking specifically to BAI listeners, all of those of you who are not calling 212-209-2950 and not supporting the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. You know, when George Bush invades a foreign country, we all immediately view it, obviously, as an atrocity, as a political crime, and we get out there appropriately and we protest. Okay, when Sean Bell is killed on the eve of his wedding by police just minding his own business at a bachelor party at a club in Queens, we all understand that this is a political crime, and we get out appropriately and protest,
like Al Sharpton did,
and actually shut down the major arteries of New York City. Right. And when we read them in the headlines about global warming and so on, you know, there's a political response. People people view it as something which, you know, is has political roots and political consequences, and that it has to do with the power of big oil over government and their sway over public policy and so on. And people, you know, respond politically. You know, they understand that, you know, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, joining a march, writing a letter to the editor, people understand, you know, these are political issues. Right. But somehow, when 250 bicyclists and pedestrians are killed in New York City every year by motorists, it's not viewed as political. It's viewed merely as accidents. And it's just viewed as the normal cost of, you know, transportation. It's not viewed as political. And I say, no, these are political crimes, and it's all a part of the same system as George Bush invading Iraq to secure U.S. hegemony over the most critical oil supplies on the planet. It is the same system, which is has to do with the sway of the oil companies over public policy, which means that there hasn't been any meaningful redress of the situation with global warming. It has to do with the same system, ultimately, as the system which, you know, was responsible for the death of Sean Bell, which ultimately, whether it's on the level of the NYPD in Queens or it's on the level of George Bush invading Iraq to secure the critical oil supplies of an Arab land, it's still the global system of white supremacy which is at work. It's all a part of the same system. And I don't understand, I really do not understand why the 250 New Yorkers who are killed, you know, by reckless motorists in this city every year, why it is not perceived as a political crime. Exactly as what happened to Sean Bell was a political crime, exactly as the invasion of Iraq was a political crime, exactly as the global destruction of the environment is a political crime, exactly as the oil spill which just happened on the Mississippi River and the one that happened just a few weeks before that in San Francisco Bay are viewed as political crimes. You know, I don't understand. Help me out, Bill. Why is it not viewed as a political crime? It's just viewed as an accident. As if what happened with Katrina in New Orleans was just a natural disaster without any political context. Why don't people get it? Why, okay, well, the tally stands at $250.
Yay, we got more money. Woo!
So thank you to whoever called in. And I must say, you know, the book Disaster and Resistance does not, in fact, talk about traffic deaths. But all of the other...
Well, it's all related to oil. I mean,
exactly.
A lot of things you named.
All of the other issues which I was just ranting about are, in fact, addressed in this book.
And, you know, oil
Katrina
has...
is addressed in this book. The invasion of Iraq and the crisis with global warming and the global destruction of the environment is addressed in this book. Indigenous peoples fighting to save their lands from the oil companies in the Niger Delta of Nigeria. It's all in this book. So this book is definitely making the very same point that I was just ranting about. So if
that
you
was
sort
a good
of
rant. I like that.
Thank you. If you sort of get it, get what I was ranting about, and you feel the need to be further enlightened on this theme, please call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and pledge $100 to get your own copy of Disaster and Resistance, Comics and Landscapes for the 21st Century by Seth DeBachman. And the art on the cover actually depicts the floodwaters rising over New Orleans and refugees attempting to escape from their homes, which are being flooded. And then that's in the foreground. And then in the background, there are the huge towers and infrastructures of the oil refineries. And it's not, you know, clear whether it's the oil refineries of the Louisiana, Mississippi Delta in Louisiana, or it's the oil infrastructure, which is discussed in this book in Iraq and the Niger Delta and so on. But it's kind of making the same point that it's all this big global system which we're up against, which, you know, it's not just about, you know, distant places like Iraq and Palestine. It's not just about what happens down in the Beltway and the whole struggle over climate policy and the Kyoto Protocol and so on. It's about how we get around in New York City every day and our human rights as pedestrians and as bicyclists. And is somebody coming in to give us some names to read on the air? Yes.
Woo-hoo.
I believe somebody is coming in to give us some names to read
on the air.
And
they're walking
the air,
in. They're not
right
taking
on.
A car in.
Thank you very much. And, okay, Dennis, is that, do we have tally leg or does it really stand at 250? It's 250. Well, you know, that's really depressing, folks. If there's anybody else out there who kind of gets it, I would really appreciate if in the 20 minutes remaining to us, look, we have 10 copies of Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tobachman. So far, we've only gotten rid of two of them. It's kind of an insult to Seth, to the author of the book. It's kind of an insult to AK Press, which made 10 copies available to WBAI. It's kind of an insult to me, I have to say, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Because, you know, I mean, what are we, chopped liver? I don't come in here, you know, for my health. I come in here because I believe that what we have to say on this program is important. And if nobody else out there thinks so, then maybe I should just stop doing this show.
Meanwhile, and then I'll take over.
And meanwhile, a big hearty shout out to Lawrence LaFlame from the Bronx.
Woo-hoo.
And Joseph Laig, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, from Lawrence, Kansas. Wow, right on. So we had Wisconsin in the house, and we had Kansas in the house. So thank you.
Not in Kansas anymore.
So look, if somebody out there in Kansas can call in and make a pledge, I believe that somebody out there in Manhattan, or Queens, or the Bronx, or Staten Island, or Brooklyn, or Newark could call in and make a pledge.
And get the book. And I went to see that show at Blue Stockings the other day, and Seth was talking, and also Fly was there. She's awesome, a great East Village artist who does a lot of books, and she actually made a zine about Time's Up, which is really great. But Seth was really talking about stuff that I didn't even know myself. And, you know, I always knew there was some kind of connection between oil and Katrina, you know, mostly an environmental connection with global warming. But he pointed out how a lot of the way that the waterways were cut up by oil companies that were using the barges to move around. And they just didn't care about supporting the dikes or building the proper infrastructure. They just wanted to move the oil through, and they had built all these canals, and he had a slideshow. So I learned a lot about, you know, how a lot of these things happen through reckless, you know, businesses just not caring about anything but a quick dollar.
212-209-2950. 15 minutes remaining to us. I mean, this is really demoralizing. Not even to break $300. This is just really demoralizing.
If we get one more donation, we'll take a call. How's that?
No, 500. I'm not taking any calls until we break 500.
How about a half a call?
We're not taking any calls until we break 500. So we've only got 15 minutes left.
We pick up the phone and we hang up on them.
We only have 15 minutes left. If you want to hear your voice on the airwaves, I mean, I really don't get it. What I have to say on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade really mean that little to people that we're not even going to break 300 tonight? I really don't get it. 212-209-2950. This is profoundly dispiriting. It really is. Bill, there's something I need to ask you. I've been wanting to discuss this with you on the air for a while.
You're not going
to
ask my age, are you?
No. Apropos of what we're talking about tonight, one of my oldest friends in New York City, somebody who I've known for more than 20 years, is not talking to me.
Oh.
Ever since I gave my rant on the air. Remember a few months ago, I gave this rant on the air about how I got a flat tire going over the Manhattan Bridge because somebody had been spiking
The tack man.
Yeah, been spiking the southern walkway on the bridge,
right?
With staples.
Yeah, probably Lieutenant Smoker.
To give
he's to, always putting tacks in the road.
To give be careful, Bill. You don't want to make yourself liable to a libel suit. But
McLibel.
Somebody, you know, because ostensibly the I don't think this is a hard and fast rule, but ostensibly the southern walkway of the Manhattan Bridge is for pedestrians, and there's a little like stick figure pedestrian painted in the sidewalk. There's no sign or anything that says no bicycle,
right?
But there's a little stick figure pedestrian painted into the concrete, into the walkway there.
And the vigilante was putting the tacks on
right.
the pedestrian.
Right, and then
side.
On the northern side, there's a sort of a stick figure cyclist painted onto the pavement.
So how could this story get someone mad at you?
Okay, because my friend felt, and I should give the I should explain that my friend is disabled and feels personally terrorized by antisocial bicyclists, and there are some out there who ride on the sidewalk and don't respect pedestrians. So she feels that pedestrians should have the right to be completely free from bicyclists anywhere where they walk, including the south side of the Manhattan Bridge. That if the south lane is reserved for pedestrians, then bicyclists should respect that. And that I was being disrespectful by asserting the right of bicyclists to ride on that side of the bridge. Now,
you think she would have more respect for wheels?
I'm sorry?
You think she would really understand, bicycles have wheels, wheelchair have wheels? It's all, connected.
Okay, explain. I'm not quite sure what you're getting. See, what she would argue is that precisely that somebody who's transporting themselves just on their own 2 feet should not have to share the space with somebody who's on wheels. Now, of course,
was she in a wheelchair?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's on feet.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a wheelchair.
No. She's on feet. But, she kind of walks sort of with a cane, and she can't, she's not real steady on her feet. So,
there might be a point there because it is a bridge and there's not much other place to move around. But as far as when you're on the sidewalks and people get really uptight at bicycling, they really should blame the cars because, bicyclists have no place. They can't be in the street because the cars are there. They can't be on the sidewalk because the pedestrians are there. So we're seeing recent on 9th Avenue, you're seeing infrastructure where there actually is a place for bikes separated by small trees and curbs. So we're seeing this infrastructure come into the city that people have never seen. And a lot of it, is copying Amsterdam and London and other places. So, there is this big thing, where does the bike actually have to go? We have to compete with the cars in the street. And I'm sometimes, even I do it, when I'm riding home on a Friday night, after the moonlight ride at Central Park, which is the first Friday of every month. It's a great ride through Central Park. But afterwards, I have to ride home. And there's all these people in drunken cars. And I figure in Midtown, I'm taking the sidewalk. And I do take the sidewalk. It's the wrong thing to do, but no one's doing it. But it's too dangerous in the street. So in a way, sometimes the bicyclist has no place to go.
Okay, without a doubt, the overriding context for this dilemma is the fact that the streets are dominated by death machines, without a doubt. That's the overriding context. But still, given this context, this is the world which we operate in here in New York City, unfortunately, what is the ethical response of bicyclists? This is sort of the question here.
Right, and I said to a lot of people, give no respect, got no respect. But that has to change because they're starting to give some respect to bicyclists. So in other cities, boy, bicyclists do actually behave better. But in New York, I feel like this whole non-respect towards bicyclists, and actually people walking across the street don't have too much respect. If you look at, when you walk across the street, you try to ignore that you can see the cab driver's eyes, because if he doesn't see your eyes and you don't see his eyes.
Eye contact is very important.
Yeah, there's this game that goes on, which is ridiculous. You're talking about a pedestrian versus this huge metal vehicle. So the pedestrians are playing this game with the person driving the car where they don't make eye contact. And then a bicyclist, the wimpiest thing in the world, will whiz by, and someone will be not used to that. And I think people need to get used to bicyclists. And sure, as we're seeing more of an increase in bicycling and more infrastructure, I think we're also going to see bicyclists, start understanding that there are rules to the game and it's not the wild, wild west anymore. But, we definitely need the city to make the first move here and really step out and not have incidents where bicyclists are just riding by and a cop knocks them off or gives them fake tickets. So the city really needs to step up with the respect, and then the bicyclists will come next. And I think the city's got it confused here that the bicyclists need to go first, and that's ridiculous. The bicyclists are taking their lives in their hands. So, it's a little different than your conversation, but it's similar. There has to be space. It's a very big city, and I can understand that some people I don't have space. And I don't think the bicyclists be in my space, but a lot of times the bicyclists don't have any space. They have the street or the sidewalk. But on a bridge, I don't know, your friend might have a point there, because there's not much other space on the bridge unless she's a good tightrope worker or something.
All right. Well, you go across the Manhattan Bridge sometimes. You always take the Northern Lane?
Sure. I don't know why. Why were you over there? What were you doing over there?
Okay. I stand accused. So you do always take the Northern Lane. I mean, I'm not the only bicyclist who takes the Southern Lane.
Oh, you see other bicyclists there.
Of course. I mean, otherwise, this vigilante wouldn't have been putting staples down, of course. I mean, it's the more pleasant of the two. There's a better view.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I feel the same way with greenways, because the greenways are designed to be these beautiful ways that you can ride your bicycle.
Right, and my counter-argument, just playing devil's advocate here, because I wouldn't be bringing this up if I didn't feel that there really was another side to the argument. You know, I mean, there is, clearly. You know, I acknowledge the possibility that I'm in the wrong, okay? But just playing devil's advocate, you know, there are other places in the city where bicyclists and pedestrians share a single walkway.
Yeah.
Right? Under DOT regulations.
A lot of the greenways that wrap around the island are shared infrastructure.
Exactly.
And in that case, I feel like the pedestrians should use the sidewalk. Get the hell off the greenways, because...
No. See, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I think that...
There's not many bridges.
Yeah, right. I think that, of course, pedestrians should use the greenways and bicyclists should use the greenways. And I think that it's actually important, again, just playing devil's advocate, that there should be at least a few places in the city where bicyclists and pedestrians do interact, so that bicyclists will learn to slow down and to not be reckless when they're around pedestrians and learn to respect pedestrians.
Ah, right. They shouldn't be fighting. They're both non-polluting. I like that philosophy.
And, of course, even in where there are these walkways, the separate lanes within the walkway.
Right.
Yeah. And certainly the southern walkway of the Manhattan Bridge is wide enough that, you know, there's two lanes.
There needs to be more... support in a way where if someone is doing something good for the planet, they need to be treated better. They need to have the better view. They need to be closer to the water. They need to have the parking like at closer range. So, you know, looking for proper infrastructure that also rewards someone who is doing something proper would be awesome, too.
All right. Well, I should note here.
Oh, boy, it's getting up there.
No, it's not. It's $365.
It's moving.
Which means we haven't even broken 400, obviously.
We'll tell you the rest of the story about the tax.
Much less the 500, which I considered to be the absolute minimum, which I was hoping to make tonight. I was hoping to make optimistically 1,000.
I bet you if I say the phone number, someone's going to call you. Ready? 212-209-2550.
2950.
See, now we have to say it again.
212-209-2950. I really wish that just two people would call and pledge $100 each to get a copy of Disaster and Resistance, Comics and Landscapes for the 21st Century by Seth Tobachman. And at least we could break 500. Actually, that wouldn't even put us to 500, would it? That would put us to 500, yeah. I really wish that would happen in the 5 minutes remaining to us. Because, you know, folks, remember about a year ago, not quite a year ago, when I had gotten back from Japan and I was talking about my meetings with the Iraqi civil resistance, and nobody out there seemed to understand what the hell I was talking about. Well, and I actually quit for a while, and perhaps against my better judgment, I came back, you know, for a while. Anne-Marie Hendrickson was filling in for me because I just could not handle doing the show anymore because I was so demoralized. Do you want that to happen again? I mean, really, really serious.
Are you going to quit? This is all bothering you so much?
It really is. I mean, this is humiliating. Break 400? I feel like nobody understands a word that I'm saying. And if that's the case, what's the point of doing the show?
What's worse, the car culture that you experience and all the accidents, or not enough money for BAI?
We're part of the same problem, Bill. Part of it, because here I am, you know, ranting about the car culture, and, you know, I feel like completely vindicated in my perception that nobody understands that this is a political issue. People don't see that it's a political issue that 250 pedestrians and cyclists are killed each year by motorists in New York City. They just view it as an accident.
Right.
Just the price of how we get around in New York City, and they don't view it as a political issue. So once again, nobody knows what I'm talking about. Nobody gets it. Aside from, you know, four, including Time's Up, who's here in the studio. The only people who get... Have we got a couple more?
Yes.
Have we got Tally Leg, or is it really standard 365?
JK only on that one.
Louis Klein from New York, New York gets it. Thank you, Louis.
Thank
you, Louis. Rachel Schwimmer from Yonkers gets it. Thank you.
Schwimmer? Isn't that some kind of actor?
Thank you, Rachel. But I guess nobody else out there gets it, you know? So, I mean, I almost feel like I owe it just to Rachel and the few other people
out
there.
I bet you Rachel rides a bike.
To Rachel and a few other people out there who get it, I guess I should stick around and do the show for at least a few more months, assuming that WBAI doesn't yank me after a humiliating performance
like
this. All
right, we've got a couple more minutes. We need all the bicyclists to
call. But maybe after that, you know, maybe I should just call it quits. What is the point of doing this show if nobody out there understands what the hell I'm talking about?
Maybe just poor people listen, but there's like a large amount of them.
I mean, other shows don't do this poorly. This is humiliating. Not even $400. I give up. You know, I really do. You know, we've got 5 minutes left. If two more people don't call in the next 5 minutes, I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. I really don't. 212-209-2950. Let's jack it up to over 500 if you really want to be assured that Bill Weinberg is going to be here next week.
212-209-2950. Bill must come to the show, and there should be no... Remember the times they were, like, protesting? You couldn't get in the front door? That doesn't happen anymore. The station is here now, and they need your support.
Maybe not here for long, the way things are going. Now, what's especially humiliating is that we're actually not doing badly on this marathon. So I guess people just hate me. Fine, whatever. We're going to go. Forget about all you people. Big thanks to the people who pledged. Give it up, Bill.
Swimmer.
Thank you, Rachel.
And we're not taking phone calls. I love the phone calls.
Nope. Because you people didn't come through. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Mike Cannon from Wisconsin. And thanks to Dennis the Menace, who gave their time and labor tonight. And all of you other people who didn't call to support the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Well, use it or lose it, like the saying says. Maybe you just lost it. Maybe this is the swan song episode of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Because maybe after this humiliating performance, management is going to yank us. Or maybe I just don't want to do the show anymore because nobody appreciates anything that I say. So, goodbye, everybody. See ya. We're going to go out with some more Bhangra. Enjoy it while you can.
Time's up.
Yeah, time's up for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, I think. Maybe permanently. Well, stay tuned for Weaponry. Bye, everybody. See ya.
Sony te nakde, sony lagde, main sony te nakde.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.